Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
I get that some people in here beyond, some of you out there have done some crazy stuff. I get that. You say, well, there's no way God could forgive this. Just because you can't forgive it doesn't mean he can't forgive it. Give him a shot at forgiving you and you'd have a whole lot easier time forgiving yourself.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Forgiving God. So this may be a new concept for some of you, but I'd like you to think a minute about how God has done you wrong in your life and you need to forgive him for that. Now, some of you already started thinking, well, that's absurd. He's holy, perfect, righteous. How could he do anything wrong? Well, if that's true, why do you keep blaming him for everything wrong? What are you angry with him about? Because he's done you wrong. He has sinned against you. That starts sounding completely absurd, right? But you'd be amazed how many people blame God, like, he did this. They look in the mirror and go, why'd you do this to me? You made me like this. I don't like this. And I'm telling you, I got some questions that you say, okay, God, I grew up in this family, and my parents were nuts, and bad things happened to me, or my mom, or my dad, or whatever it is. Like, hey, God, I'm upset with you. You let this happen, and I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to forgive you for what you've done to me and my family. So here's kind of where we're going a little bit. It's okay to be upset with him, but at some point you got to wrap your head around, it's not him. You say, yeah, but he let bad things happen, so he must have sinned against me and my family. That's not how it works. You say, well, I just can't trust a God who lets these things happen. And I say this as gently as I can, okay? So now where are you going to go? Who are you going to turn to? Who you got? Well, I got me some crystals at the house, and I rubbed them on my, you know, and that makes it all better. Your crystals aren't going to fix it any more than you being frustrated with God. You say, well, I'm mad at God, and I won't let it go, and I won't forgive him. You're not going anywhere then. There's no way forward. Unless you can trust him, you can never trust him with your life. You can't deal with your own unforgiveness. You can't go to forgiving other people until you trust him and say, look, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. Then the dominoes start dropping. What people often mean when they say, quote unquote, forgive God is actually releasing resentment toward God for something they didn't understand or didn't want to happen. Biblically, the call isn't to forgive him, but to trust him, submit to his wisdom, and to let go of bitterness. Turn to Psalm 13:1. I'm going to start, and we're going to go left to right, and we're going to deal with some people who had some issues with God, and then we're going to go back and go left to right on some other verses. But Psalm 13:1, and you say, well, I have questions. Maybe I don't have to forgive God, but I'm still angry with him. Psalm 13:1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? So for millennia, people had lots of questions, lots of doubts, lots of issues with God, feeling abandoned. They pray, nothing happens. Seemingly nothing happens. Not in their time, not quick enough. Psalm 22:1, you may or may not have known this was in the Old Testament, and Jesus quoted it from the cross. But Psalm 22:1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So this is not originally Jesus saying this. This is the psalmist saying this, expressing how he's feeling. He's feeling forsaken. You have abandoned me. I'm in trouble. I cry out to you. You're doing nothing. Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. In other words, I'm not getting through, you're not responding. I feel forsaken. So you're not the first person. And this is part of the reason I encourage you to read the Bible. In fact, I encourage you to read the Bible out loud to Him. And you say, God, I don't know how to express my frustration, my fear, my doubt, but that's how I feel. Read it to Him. He's had it read to Him out of the Psalms. Jesus quoted it on the cross. And by the way, we'll go there for a second just to give you the reference. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is my God, why have you forsaken me? So he's hanging on the cross. You say, well, did God forsake him? The Godhead never ceased to be the Godhead, but he felt forsaken like we feel forsaken because all the sin of the world. He became a curse. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so God lays all that on him and he feels the full brunt. Psalm 73:2. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So these people are frustrated with God because they look around, people that are cocky, boastful about what they got, wicked in their lifestyle, and they go, okay, I got nothing, and these people got everything, and now your resentment is toward God for not giving you what even the wicked have. And why is that fair? And then the New Testament talks about being content with food and clothing. Doesn't even say shelter, food and clothing, therewith to be content. Psalm 73:12, go down to that verse. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. So why is it I try to trust you, God, and all the heat seems to be on me, and those who don't trust you, don't follow you, don't do anything, just live in ease? Be careful envying those people, because you can live a lifetime in ease and not know Jesus and end up in an eternity of zero ease. So you think, well, it's not fair here. Here is not all there is. Never lose sight of the hereafter. Don't get stuck on the here. You're going to be in the hereafter way longer than you're going to be here. Jeremiah 15:16. And this is intense stuff they're writing here. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? Man, this Jeremiah is pounding on God here a little bit. Like, dude, perpetual pain, incurable wound. You're like an unreliable stream, the waters that fail, you know, you run out. Well, that's not really who God is, and he knows that eventually. But in that moment, that's how he's feeling. And the Holy Spirit is writing all this scripture through these men and allowing for where they are in the process. So you're not going to shock God with anything you think or say or feel. He's been hearing all this from the beginning. In fact, Adam and Eve, from jump, the second sin entered into the picture, what started? Blaming. It was somebody else's fault. The wife that you gave me, it's somebody else. All right, go all the way back to the left, Numbers 14. So we started out talking about forgiving God. Now I'm going to talk to you about a forgiving God. So let's say you have not, your issue is with him, you got some resentment, and you say, well, what's his attitude about that? Well, you confess that sin, you say, I'm bitter, I got issues with you, and he goes, okay, well, let me show you what I'm going to do now. Numbers 14:18, and if you don't have these underlined or make notes, sooner or later you're going to need this, because the enemy's going to attack you and tell you he has not forgiven you. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. So if you're guilty, go to him and confess your sin and let him manifest this long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. That's who he is. That's what he wants to do. Psalm 62:8. Dude, this is all in the Bible. If you just matched your scrolling time with scripture reading time, your whole life would change. Right? I'm not saying give up scrolling, but why don't you try a different scroll? Because look at what all that scrolling is generating. Nonsense, insecurity, buying stuff you can't afford. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times. You people, I like the way he said you people, because we say that. pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Do that, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. There's your refuge, your safe place. Now, what does it mean to pour out your heart? What's in your heart? All of us got different stuff in our hearts. Pour it out to him. Psalm 86:5. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Now, I get that some people in here beyond, some of you out there have done some crazy stuff. I get that. You say, well, there's no way God could forgive this. Just because you can't forgive it doesn't mean he can't forgive it. Give him a shot at forgiving you and you'd have a whole lot easier time forgiving yourself. He's ready to forgive. Let's go now. You say, well, what'd I do? He already knows what you did. Just admit to him what you did. Confess it. You say, well, if he already knows, why do I have to say it? He wants you to say it and take responsibility and then say, okay, I've said it. Now you got to take care of it. He says, I got you. Look at the words that keep being used. Abundant, mercy, ready to forgive. Psalm 103, verse 8. People say, oh, God's angry. Okay, give me some angry verses. You know who he's angry with? The ungodly, those who reject his son. But if you move his way, he's already there. Psalm 103, 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Again, slow to anger. He doesn't react and pop off like we do. And abounding in mercy, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. In other words, none of us have gotten what we deserve. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And some of you have been Christians forever and you understand this. Some of you never heard this in your life. He didn't say north and south. That's immeasurable. When he says as far as the east is from the west, it doesn't end. You can't measure how far it is from the east to the west because you run into yourself over and over going around. It's gone. So what does he say? He's removed it, our transgressions from us that far. It's gone. You say, well, why do I keep thinking about it? Because the enemy comes along and accuses you, like it says in Revelation, and you take the bait. So very briefly on this, if the devil keeps pounding you about some sin that you confessed and it keeps coming back up, at some point you just got to look at the enemy and say, look, I'm not playing your game anymore. Well, if you're not going to play the game, how are you going to overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives unto death. So you say, I'm not playing it. So when the enemy comes and accuses you, pull out your paid in full paper and say, look, to hell with you. Literally, to hell with you. I am not playing this game the rest of my life. I am forgiven. He loves me. He is merciful, slow to anger. This is all taken care of. Stop exhuming my old life. And I'm not doing it for you. You say, well, will he stop? And if you don't think he'll stop, throw in some music. He ain't staying around for that. Throw in a little, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. You say, well, I can't sing. God don't care if you can sing. You got a heart, joyful noise. Promise you, the devil is not going to stay for any of that. Isaiah 43:25. Man, if you get a hold of this, change your life. You know, we focus a lot on this forgiveness thing around here, and a lot of people processing this, I know. But you will never be able to forgive yourself or anyone else until you let him forgive you first. Okay, let's get an example. You cheated on your spouse. Are you still married? Well, apparently something's trying to be worked out because the other party could have divorced you by now and they may still. I get that, but it's not a requirement. You say, well, how are we going to move forward? It's infidelity. It's not the unpardonable sin. And the one that cheated can confess and be forgiven. Then if you're the one, you're the victim of that, you can choose to forgive and then you can move forward. You say, well, what do we do when the enemy attacks us with the past? What happened? What I did? It's the same thing. You just say to the devil, like, look, you're right about what I did, but you're wrong about where my sin is. It is as far as the east is from the west. You would be stunned if I asked how many people in this room, in your marriage, one of the spouses has cheated and you're still married moving forward. You say, well, that's not possible. There's a lot of things possible with Jesus. Our God can raise the dead. Right. Isaiah 43:25. Did we read that? Listen to this one. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now he's not forgiving you for your sake. He's saying, I'm doing it for my sake. And I will not remember your sins. You say, well, how's that possible? He's God. He knows everything. My God does not sit around thinking about what he has forgiven me for and what I have done. He is trying to take me through today and forward. And unlike us, the way we fight, he is not sitting there with some bag of tricks where when we get out of line, he whips it out and says, oh, look what you did in 84, 2007. We're crazy people. He's not digging it up. Why are you digging it up? Daniel 9:9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. I don't know how much more sinning I got left till I die. I had a guy in the church, his brother was a drug addict, and I met with him one day, and I said, okay, so how often do you use? And he told me, and I said, so how long do you think you're going to live? You know, he said, well, maybe about 50-something. I said, okay, so not much longer. I said, so you're going to, I did the math. I said, so you're going to use about 365 more times. Does that sound right? Because you're using about this incrementally. He said, man, that doesn't sound right. I said, then do something about it. I'm not the one plaguing you into the future with drug use. You're on some kind of routine, and unless you change your mind, this is how you're going to go. Is that your life? And it's not like you've got some kind of sin quota. Oh my gosh, it's 9 o'clock. I've only sinned once, right? I better get on this. No one's screwing your day up but you. No one's making me sin. People say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, not technically really. You may have yielded. Oh my gosh, it's 2 o'clock. I haven't, you know, been mean to my wife yet, right? But if you get to the end of your day and go, okay, Lord, look at my day. You're like, yeah, look at your day. What was that? Well, how did that happen, Lord? Well, number one, you didn't spend any time with me before you left the house. So you're going to battle in your boxers and wonder why you come back all cut up. You're a bloody mess of your own choosing. Jonah 4. I was going to pull this, but I can't pull this. If you know the story of Jonah, God tells him to go to Nineveh, preach to him. He doesn't go, and I want to read you why he didn't go. Because he knew if he obeyed God, he would do what I'm about to read you. So he goes the completely opposite direction, goes, gets on a ship in Tarshish, and runs from God's will. And here's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became very angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know you're a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So he had gone to Nineveh. He had preached. The whole place repents. Everything gets turned around. God doesn't destroy it. And now Jonah's upset because they didn't get what was coming to him. And he knew that's what God would do. There's a good chance if God was going to take you out, you'd be out, right? And don't push him. Don't play games with him. But if you're still breathing, you're still on the planet, and you're not a Christian, you got a shot at becoming a Christian. If you are a Christian, you got a shot at living the Christian life. But you have to put it in gear. So everybody do this. Take a second and think about your most favorite sin. What's your most favorite sin? You had to give them all up, but you're going to keep this one. You got your most favorite sin? Some of you try not to breathe so it won't look like you have one. I just can't let this one go. I'm not going to live without my buddy sin. And how's that working out for you? How's that moving me forward in my walk with Jesus and the impact that he has for me to have on the earth? Yeah, but I'm not letting go. Imagine what would happen if you walked up to the cross and said, hey, I'm done. I lay it at your feet. Let's go. Imagine how you could run then. You say, well, would he forgive me? That's not your question. You know he'd forgive you. You may not want to be forgiven. You liked your pet sin. A few more and we're done. Micah 7:18. Wow, listen to this. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Let him do it. A few in the New Testament, Matthew 6:14. Now you say, well, I thought you were saying that God is forgiving. What does this mean? Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay, great. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the forgiveness class goes over this, I'm certain. If you've ever prayed the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and you wonder why you don't feel forgiven, because you will not feel forgiven or be forgiven until you forgive. Now you're the one releasing the forgiveness this way. You can't walk with God and live in unforgiveness. It's just not possible. But you say, well, I want to be right with God. You got to be right with other people for it all to work like it's supposed to. I had a conversation, I guess it was yesterday. I don't remember who it was, but they told me about someone who refused to forgive a family member, I think it was. And guess what? The family member was dead. Now, I do not use this word in my house, but you got to be some kind of stupid. You're going to lock up, ruin your whole life hating a dead person. Please explain to me, somebody, how hating a dead person is hurting them. It's stealing nothing but your life. It's the quote, you take the rat poison and wait for them to die. They're already dead. We're crazy people. We give our lives to insanity. Luke 7:47, love these two verses. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Now, I'm not saying you need to go sin more so that you can love more. But when I meet people who have lived totally jacked up lives and they discover that God loves them and he has forgiven them, those people outlove everybody because they know they've been extended extraordinary mercy. And if you think God doesn't love you and wants to forgive you, Luke 23:33, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. He is forgiving from the cross. And by the way, it is a whole lot easier to forgive from your cross than not. If you take up your cross, deny yourself daily, take up your cross and follow him, you'll have an easier time forgiving other people than without a cross. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
And then the last one, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the devil may have told you your sin is unforgivable. Let me tell you what the only unforgivable sin is, rejecting Jesus. You reject him, it's unforgivable. You'll end up in hell. You say, well, I don't believe in that. I get it. I understand you don't believe in a lot of this stuff, but you will. You'll believe in all of it. You'll just be on the wrong side, and it'll be too late. You say, well, I'm going to repent in hell. No, you won't. There's no verses about that. You get saved before you get out of here, not after you get out of here. And there's no praying somebody out of some purgatory place that doesn't exist in the first place. So if that's your deal, I'm probably stepping on some toes. I'm going to write a check and get grandma out of purgatory. Good luck with that. So if you want to be able to forgive other people, you got to be able to forgive yourself. You will never be able to forgive yourself unless you let him forgive you. But that will never happen probably until you let him off the hook. Not forgiven him, but confess that you have been bitter toward him and upset with him over whatever it is you're hanging on to. And say, Lord, I'm upset. I don't understand why you let this happen, but I got nowhere else to go. I trust you. I will follow you. And let's move it forward.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.